From Spark and Anvil and Figure Forge, this is Fairy in Chapter 1 of the Figure Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
At the edge of the Figure Forge workshop, where a real river slid past the open window, a small russet otter in a chunky sailor top pushed a wooden rowboat across her workbench. There was no water on the bench. There didn't need to be. The boat carried one thing, a smooth gray pebble, from a label that read River to a label that read Time. And when it arrived, Fairy looked at the pebble as though it had changed on the way. Time is a river, she said quietly, to nobody in particular. A student passing behind her slowed. It's a pebble in a toy boat. It was a pebble. Fairy tapped the river label, then the time one. Then it crossed. Now the word time has everything the river had. It flows, it has a current, you can't step in it twice. She nudged the boat a hair closer. The boat didn't move a stone, it moved a meaning. That's the whole job. When you say one thing is another, you're rowing a cargo of sense from a bank you know to a bank you don't. The student frowned, half convinced, and went to fetch a mop for water that wasn't there.
Fairy had not always trusted the crossing. She had grown up on a wide, curving bend of the river, in a village whose otters had ferried people across long before anyone thought to build a bridge. Every morning her family rowed farmers and their baskets and their letters from one side to the other. Every evening they rowed them back. It was ordinary, tiring, wet work, and young Fairy thought that was all it ever was. The bridge changed her mind. She was small when the village finished it, a broad, patient span of stone, and she remembered standing at the foot of it, certain her family's whole purpose had just been made useless. What was a fairy otter for, once a bridge could carry everyone across for free? Her grandmother found her sulking at the water's edge. She was old, her whiskers gone silver, and she had ferried more crossings than anyone alive. You'd think the crossing is finished, her grandmother said. It isn't. You've only stopped rowing water. She turned Fairy gently to face the bridge, where the whole village now walked back and forth. Every one of them is carrying something across, a message, a promise, a piece of news. The load never stopped moving, only the boat changed. She touched Fairy's cap. Words do the same. A word can carry the sense of one thing clean over to another. You come from fairy folk. You already know how to move a thing that has no weight. Fairy looked at the crowd streaming over the stone, and the hollow feeling in her chest lifted and turned into something bright.
She walked to Figure Forge when she was 12, her fur still soft, her paw still small, the sailor cap a size too big and worn anyway. Trope, the workshop's oldest mentor, met her at the door. Trope asked every newcomer one question and listened harder to the answer than to anything else. What is metaphor? She said, her voice like leaves moving. Fairy did not reach for a definition. She set her toy rowboat on the doorstep, laid the river label on one side and the time label on the other, and pushed the boat across with the pebble in it. This, she said. You take what everyone already knows about a river, that it flows, that it can't run backward, and you row it straight over to a word that needed it. Time is a river. Not like a river. Is. The load lands, and now the second word means more than it did. She looked up. No like, no as. Those keep the two banks separate. Metaphor closes the gap and says they're the same shore. Trope was quiet for a long moment. Then a rare, slow smile touched her mouth. You're appointed, she said. This workshop is full of makers reaching for a way to say the impossible thing. You're the one who'll ferry the meaning across.
Years later, a girl slumped onto the stool by Fairy's bench, a page of crossed-out sentences crumpled in her fist. I have to describe fear for the class, she said, and everything I write is boring. Fear is scary. Fear is bad. It just sits there. Then it hasn't crossed yet, Fairy smoothed the page flat. Tell me one true thing about how fear feels. Not what it is, but what it does in your body. The girl thought. It's cold, and it kind of presses, like something sitting on my chest. Good. Now, what else is cold and presses and sits on a chest? Fairy set the boat between them, laid down two blank labels. A stone? The girl said slowly. A cold stone? Write it. Fairy wrote fear on one label and stone on the other, and rode the pebble from stone to fear. Watch what crosses. A stone is heavy, cold, silent, hard to lift, older than you are. The boat touched the fear bank. Fear is a cold stone in my chest. Now every one of those, the weight, the cold, the not going away, has landed on the word fear. You didn't explain fear. You carried something into it. She sat back. And notice, no like. If you'd said fear is like a stone, you'd have kept them on separate banks, polite strangers. You said is. You made them one thing. That's the bold claim. That's the whole cargo. The girl read her own line, and her eyes went wide, and she reached for a fresh page without being asked.
Later, when the workshop had gone quiet and the river outside had turned the color of dusk, the girl came back with a smaller, slower question. How do you know when a metaphor is a good one? She said. There are so many. Time is a river. Life is a journey. Some feel worn out. Fairy nodded, unbothered. Some are worn out. We call those dead. The leg of a table, the mouth of a river, the face of a clock. She tapped the clock on the wall, the table's leg, gestured at the real river's mouth beyond the window. We rode those crossings so long ago, we forgot there was ever a river to cross. That's fine. Dead metaphors are the bridges. Everyone uses them without thinking, and that's exactly why they work. But a live one, she went on, and her voice warmed. A live one you build fresh, on purpose, and the reader feels the boat move. Fear is a cold stone. They didn't expect the crossing, so they ride it with you. That little jolt when the meaning lands somewhere new, that's the whole art. And you'll miss plenty at first, spotting them or making them. Everyone does. It's completely normal. She rested a paw on the small wooden boat. You just keep rowing. The load learns to arrive. The girl looked at the boat and at her page of new sentences, and something behind her ribs came loose that had been clenched all afternoon. The dread of the empty assignment had gone. In its place was a quiet, spreading gladness. The warm certainty you feel when a thing you thought you couldn't do turns out to be a thing you can, and your shoulders drop, and you breathe all the way to the bottom of the breath for the first time in hours.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Fairy. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.